B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First, an update, Zoe. On Twitter, at Iraqi Dave, 11 minutes ago. Special thanks to Hardy and Zolak and Bertrand. Anna Isabella Iraqi was brought safely into this world yesterday afternoon. Mom and baby are doing great. As we speak, I am in the process of tearing up her birth certificate and renaming her Rocky. Amazing work, man. And a photo of
that is awesome.
There we go.
That is awesome.
So congratulations to Dave and his family and the welcoming of shortly to be renamed Anna Isabella Iraqi. She will soon be Rocky Iraqi, as we gave her the name.
We did it.
On the show. We did it. We did it.
So it's better than Helen.
It's Hazel.
Aurora.
That was one of the trending names.
Luna.
The trending 2020.
Aurora. Luna.
Aurora. I don't know what it is about you, Aurora. You do bring out the devil in me.
Astronaut.
That movie's been out a lot lately. That's a good one.
All right,
let's grab a couple of calls here. And Louth has found a bunch of contracts, deferred payment contracts, some of them with the Red Sox. Some of them, you scratch your head and say, what? They're deferring whose payment? Until when? What? Yeah, you'll love these. First, we'll go to... John in Hull. John, you're on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Beetle. What's up, John?
What's going on, boys? Hey, the Rank.com just put out a list of the top Patriots quarterbacks of all time. And I just wanted to know Zoe's opinion. I can read you the list real quick. Obviously, it's Brady at number one. Bledsoe, number two. Steve Grogan, number three. Flutie, number four, which I'm scratching my head about. Jimmy G at number five. I don't agree with that. Jim Plunkett. Babe Parilli. Jacoby Brissett, Tony Easton, Matt Castle, and then my boy Zoe, Hoyer and
Plunkett. Plunkett and Parilli should be higher than those other
way
guys.
Way higher. I agree with you, Zoe. Yeah. Way higher. I mean, Jimmy G had what, four games in a Patriots uniform? You know, Jacoby played one game in a Patriots uniform. Like, can I get, you know, time?
Yeah, there'll be people who argue Grogan over Bledsoe. Yeah.
You know? Can you tell me the order who's directly before and after Zolak again?
Matt Castle and Hoyer right below him.
Below Zoe?
Yeah.
I feel
How's
about
that high? How's Flutie
I mean, Matt
that?
Castle, Matt Where's Castle had Bishop? A really good season here.
Yeah.
He almost got us to the playoffs when Brady went down.
Castle had a great
half-decent quarterback. I mean, not, you know, yeah. Zoe was a half-decent quarterback too, but I feel like this list is a little skewed, you know?
They get guys I'd say there's some off guys in there. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, John. Zoe, where would you rank yourself all-time Patriots quarterbacks?
Second. Stop. I don't rank myself.
What about that guy that you get confused with at Lowe's? He's ranked ahead of you.
Tony Easton, that's ridiculous.
You should be ahead.
You ever hear that story? McCone, I go Lowe's in Plainville. Guy still thinks I'm Tony Easton.
Love it. Do you just go with it?
I walk right by. Yeah, I just wait. Tony! I'm like, hey, what's up? I'm a kid. Come over. Oh, I love your dad. Your dad's a great player, man. Tony. The kid's like, what?
Were you a better quarterback?
Just give me my microwave.
Were you a better quarterback than Matt Castle?
No, Matt was great. He had an 11 win season.
Yeah, that was
a big year for him.
That was pretty good. That was a good year.
Better Neeson. At least I got balls. Yeah. Got to have a set of balls.
What about Flutie?
Different player, man.
Yeah,
Doug was great.
You're a different player, but you know one's better than the other. Who is better, you or Flutie?
I'd run his ass over.
Yeah. Can you drop kick though?
I can drop kick him. Yeah, I can drop kick. Yes. Yes, I can.
Did you? Were you ever called upon to do so in a game?
No, never called to.
No. All right.
That was a little hokey.
Chris in Hartford. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Hardy, great job today.
Thank you.
Great, great job, man. I'm really enjoying you running the show. You know, Beatles great, but you're doing an unbelievable job.
Thank you.
Now, Zoe, when it comes to some inside football, right, there is nothing wrong. Stidham's not ready, obviously, okay? And I think you said that earlier in the show. I have no problem with Cam Newton with Vitaly in the eye, and we got to get this kid Damian Harris running downhill, and then you can boot him out, and then you can drag Edelman, you know. There's nothing wrong with that, man. Like, that's a good set. That, that's a good package, you know what I mean? And that's what Belichick...
It's an attack package. It's called physical right, physical left.
Yeah, and I think that the fans, they need to grasp that. It might. I'm excited about it, you know. We've seen Tom, you know, run the show for a long time in a different way. But I think that the fans are the ones that are going to have to, you know, have a little patience with that. But that's exciting, man. You know, I don't really need him getting hurt running up the middle.
Fans are excited. I think fans are excited for Cam Newton. I think they beat you and then Cam Newton. That gets you going. I mean, we finally got something to talk about here.
Yes.
You know,
I look at that
Cam's
the
name.
Power running. What do you think about Harris, though? Tell me. I'll get off the phone. I really want you to break down Harris for me, man. Have a good one, guys.
Okay, thanks. I'm glad you brought him up. A lot of people like that. Ooh, it's Damian Harris. Oh, you're not going to see him. Supposedly, there's a lot of people that talked about he and the kid that went to the Raiders in the first round coming out of Alabama, that he was more of the bruising home run hitter type. And I think that's what they liked about him. The leg journey is the ability to catch the football. I think he's an off-tackle runner. I don't know if there's a cutback in him. See, that's the thing. You look at Sony. Sony likes the cutback. He'll give you a little stutter step and go backwards. I think Harris is sort of like Blunt with power, if that makes sense. LeGarrette Blunt type runner with even a little more power. Downhill guy, just like you said, and needs a fullback. You know, those type of guys, Sony needs a fullback. Harris needs a fullback. James doesn't. James is a one-back offset runner.
Okay.
Same thing with Burkhead. They got a good mixture of guys.
And with James Devlin out, without a real fullback in there, we didn't get a chance to see him. Twice he was on the active roster. He was a healthy scratch 13 times, 10 snaps between offense and special teams. It's just hard to tell.
Yeah.
Look, saw him in preseason. And, you know, there's a lot of names that pop up in preseason that, you think are going to be locks to be, at the very least, contributors. You don't know how they're going to play, but you think, at least we're going to see this guy. Week 3 against the Jets, 5 snaps on the punt return squad. And then 4 weeks later, he played 5 more snaps, late game as running back. That's it.
But, like, outside of Sony Michel, whether you go back through these rookie running backs, whether it's Ridley, Vereen, James White, it always seems like that first year is a redshirt year for the rookie running back. So I wouldn't give up on him just because he didn't really play in his rookie year.
All right, let's go to Kendall here in Wellesley. Kendall?
Oh, fancy.
Well, yes, it's Wellesley.
Yes.
Of course, of course your name is Kendall. Go ahead.
That's not very nice. I heard that you guys do not like the name Sawyer.
What?
Sawyer,
what?
Get down from there, Sawyer. Stop climbing on Sawyer.
I just have to tell you, my 12-year-old son is Sawyer, and it's a wonderful name, and he is not teased, and he's a great kid, and I'm a little offended by your dislike of the name.
Well,
what's your other kid's name, Declan?
Actually,
his name is Peyton.
So
of course, there you go. With an EY, not an AY, right?
Is this Jason McKenna's wife?
It's an AY. The correct way to spell Peyton.
oh. First of all, Kendall, your name is Kendall.
Another one, Kendall. Yeah. Another one of names you could put in a top 10 list.
I think you're predisposed.
I
think you're predisposed to pretentious names. But then again, you're in Wellesley, so you're double predisposed to pretense.
Oh well.
You know, it's not your fault, Kendall. That's
your husband's
saying.
Name, Biff.
Chip.
Well, anyways, I just wanted to call you guys, say that I love listening to you, and most of the time, I always agree with you, but not on that one.
Okay Kendall.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. I'm shocked that a woman named Kendall, who lives in Wellesley, would have an issue with us making fun of kids' names. Shocked, Kendall.
I really wanted Sawyer to start screaming in the background midway through that call.
Right.
Sawyer.
That's the only thing it stems from, and it's my own, you know, insecurity as a parent the first time around, and even the second time around when my son was born, when we wanted to give him the name Davis, I thought, what are people going to say and think about me?
If I'm yelling at the kid,
you know, if we're at the Sears Portrait Studio and he's acting up, and I said, Davis, now stop that. Now, if I were another parent, I would look over and say, of course he's acting like a jackass. You named him Davis.
The kid so fat and doughy.
You think Davis is a fat kid's name?
You sent me an ice cream and a picture. Bow tie. I probably had a bow tie and one of those stupid hats on. Davis.
I just read the other day that...
there's not one Davis out there listening to this show now.
I just read yesterday, though, that a bow tie indicates to the world that you can no longer get an erection. That's what a bow tie means. Once you start wearing that, you're just like, don't worry about me.
Poor Michael Hawley.
I haven't seen him wear a bow tie in a long time.
You bring him out every once in a while.
I haven't seen
him in that. Bucky Brooks, right? Bucky Brooks wears them. Who else? Ken Rosenthal. He wears them. But he wears them for charity. Sense. He wears them for charity.
I didn't know it was a charitable thing. Well, good for him. All right. Then.
I know. I ripped him before, and I got ripped for ripping him for wearing them, but he wears them for charity.
Okay, so friends of ours and Rosenthal are exempt from that classification. Michael, you too. Absolutely.
I swear to God, Sosie shows up in a bow tie on a way trip. I'm going to lose it.
Well, we know that's not the case.
He's not a bow tie guy.
No,
right?
No.
I'll tell you what, he can pull off a turtleneck better.
He's like G. Gordon Liddy, virile, vigorous, and potent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue our conversation about both Cam Newton and some interesting contract deferments, as it is Bobby Bonilla Day. We didn't get to those there, Jim, but we can get to those next.
I found some gems. My God.
All right, so contract deferments and some also interesting nuggets about deferring payments, whether it's for a contract or a lottery. It's all good stuff we have to get to here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beetle. It's Bobby Bonilla Day. He gets a check of almost $1.2 million. Been getting it since 2011. He'll get it until the year 2035. But he is hardly alone. Jim Louth, digging deep, finding that the Red Sox, as we know, gave Chris Sale a big extension last year, right? It kept him away from free agency, signed him to a five-year, $145 million deal, right? Sale gets $10 million of the deal from 2035 to 2039. So he's not getting $145 million right away. $10 million of it is going to be deferred for almost 20 years. The Red Sox are also giving Dustin Pedroia $2.25 million every year starting next year through 2028. You mentioned Manny Ramirez earlier, Zoe?
Yep.
They're going to be paying Manny until he's 54 years old. $32 million in deferred money they're paying out over 16 years. They started paying $2 million per year in 2011. They will continue that until 2026.
Jesus.
And they weren't even the owners that signed the contract.
No, no. It was signed by the previous regime. And by the time they get done paying him in 2026, it'll be 18 years since they traded him to the Dodgers. $2 million every year.
Should have kept them.
Apparently, the Nationals are the leaders in the clubhouse about deferring money. They did it with Max Scherzer. He signed a huge contract in 2015.
Listen to this one, Zoe.
7 years, $210 million, right? So we say that, and it's like, the guy's making $30 million a year. Well, yeah, that's what he's earning. But the salaries from 2019 and 21 are all deferred. So that splits the $105 million into seven $15 million payments that he's going to get between 2022 and 2028.
Huh.
Deferred money for two straight. Defer it all. Until when? A few years from now. $15 million a year from 2022 to 2028. That's what Max Scherzer will get from the Nationals. Daryl Strawberry. The first of the Mets' many deferrals came in 1985 when they deferred 40% of Strawberry's 1990 contract for a retirement annuity paid out at 5.1% interest rate. Oh, you're looking at the interest rates lately. See what the interest rates have done in the last several years. 5.1% interest rate Strawberry got. The original $700,000 turned into $1.64 million spread out from 2004 to 2033. But Strawberry's tax problems meant the annuity was eventually seized by the IRS and then auctioned off in 2014. Oh, that's a bad beat, Daryl.
How much are you on taxes?
Pay those taxes, man. Well, they go after it. You make the deal of the century, and then the IRS just comes and takes it all. Oh!
Probably auctioned it off for $10,
right? Oh, worst. All right. This one. Let's see if you can guess who this is, Zoe. Signed with the Braves before the 1985 season. Agreed to a deal for 6 years and $9.1 million. Any idea who this might be?
Braves. What year? 75?
85.
85. Still no clue. Not Glavin.
No. Jim, my screen is frozen here. You're going to have to go through the rest of the deal here.
Bruce Sutter, the reliever, closer.
Nope.
Okay, I'm frozen here, Jim. You're going to have to go through the rest of the deals, the rest of the deal here. Do you have it up?
Every year, his quote-unquote salary of $750,000 was an interest payment on the money. 8% interest. So basically, down the road, for 30 years, the Braves have been paying him $1.12 million every year.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
there I go. And then, when he turns 69 in a couple of years, he gets a $9.1 million balloon payment. So his 750 grand turned into $47
million. $47 million! For a pitcher, okay, I got it back here.
For a pitcher, each year, though. So each year, so that's what? 750 for 6 years turned into $47 million.
Not to mention that his time with the Braves, 40 saves on the team that averaged 96 losses per season. They lost almost 100 games a year on average. He had 40 saves for him in his time there, and he ended up turning that money. $750,000. It's almost unthinkable. All in all, over $47 million.
Yeah, they got good in the late 80s when he left.
Yeah, the
Glavin and Smoltz.
The balloon payment, though, I mean, that's the one that he's doing fine. I mean, he's got all the money he needs, but, you know, that balloon payment that he agreed to when you're almost 70, you have $10 million. I can probably do something with that. That one I'd rather take the $5 million maybe when I'm 60. Give me $5 million when I'm 60 instead of $10 million when I'm 70. That's a lot going to happen.
Braves probably take that deal.
I take that.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So you said people didn't put in their 401k when you were playing.
Right.
Which
probably 90% of the kids.
They matched 100% of what you put in there, correct?
200%. No, they 200%. Whatever you put in, they doubled.
Oh.
If you put in zero, they put in zero.
Okay, but if you put in 10,000, they put in what?
20.
Oh, God.
That's we so were able to max out at
so
13.
You
went in,
so,
13.9 was the max payment we can max out at. So whatever, every year, if you maximized it, they were 39,000 was going in your 401k.
Oh, my God.
And 90% of the guys in our union meeting, every time they would come in and try and tell us how this would help us, said, F you, man, give me my money. You're not taking my money now. Chris Caney, former number one pick, was one of them. He went out and bought 5 Mercedes. I wonder how he's doing now.
I thought it was they doubled it or they went 2.5.
Oh, right? No, they doubled it.
So whatever. So you put in $10,000.
I put in $10.
You would see it at your balance without any interest or anything else, $30,000 deposited.
Not if you didn't put any in.
Oh, my God.
You had to elect to do it. If you put a dollar in, they put in
$2. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please tell me you did at least something every year.
I max it out every year.
Oh, my God. What are you doing here?
You can't touch it till you're in your 60s.
But it's sitting there waiting for you, you know?
I may not see it. Never know. Knock on wood.
Okay, hold on. I haven't checked your net worth lately. Last time
it... Stop it.
What?
I hate this game.
The things in life are free.
Last time I looked, he took a big downturn.
Yeah, you took a big hit. You're only worth about $5 million now.
What happened?
I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever just happened to your camera there, you're like foggy.
This camera sucks, man. Hold on.
What happened?
What happened to my money?
Stop looking at me like that. I'm going to think of whoa. Put it on now. Whoa. Oh. Everybody's all dizzy now. There we go. Bam.
All right. Well, so I think it's safe to say that some of these deals these guys made years ago were done at a time when the interest rates were much more friendly toward investors. Yeah. I don't know what kind of deals you're getting now. There's still some guys getting some really nice deals. I wonder if they even think about it. Like, it's not like John Henry is going into the office today and like writing a check. You know, it's not like anybody from the Mets actually
sits down. No, they don't
think
about it.
That it's just part of doing business. You know, is he going to be thinking about it when, you know, whether it's Pablo Sandoval that you still have to pay or if it's, you know, Dustin Pedroia. I don't think they're going to begrudge him that. Chris Sale, when they got to write those checks down the road if he never throws another
pitch. Rusney Castile in Pawtucket, you know what I mean? Making like $13 million, yeah.
I think for billionaires and for, you know, corporations are worth billions of dollars, it probably doesn't even, raise an eyebrow. Yeah.
I bet it's tough for brand new owners. And, you know, they've been around it enough, and he owns, you know, Liverpool and all that. And,
right.
I mean, it's to the point now where it's just part of your business. You understand that, and it's just a number at the end of the year, and that's up to your accounts and your money people to figure all that stuff out. But I bet initially when you're an owner, you're so excited about it, and you just gave up a huge ton of your net worth to become a part owner or a sole owner, and then you have a bust like that. Those ones got to be tough to swallow early in your career as an owner.
Now, Zoe, are you going to play Powerball tonight? Tonight's a Powerball night.
I always play Powerball.
Wednesday, Saturday. Okay.
Yep. Always take a shot.
People are chiming in here. You know, if you hit, like, I don't know, 4 numbers in the Powerball, maybe you win like $1 million or something.
That'd be nice.
Rich said, my buddy won $1 million, took the lump sum, and he ended up getting $425,000. That was the check that they wrote him.
Rich who?
What?
You said Rich?
Rich said- on Twitter.
Oh, okay. I thought like Richard Lamb. Like,
no.
Oh, okay.
No. Someone else said if you take the long-term payout, you can't will it away when you die. I don't know if that's true. If you put it into some kind of a trust.
That's bullcrap. You should be able to.
I think you can.
Because you technically won. So that money is yours. And it's your estate's money.
Yeah, I would think
that becomes your money. Yes.
Dickless.
Dickless.
And why wouldn't he give sound financial advice? You got to consider the time value of money. The jackpot number on a lottery is an annuity. You, quote unquote, give up the money up front because that is what the value of those payments are worth now instead of over 15, 20, or 30 years. Makes sense, right? We're going to give you $62 million over this number of years, but that's only worth $49 million right now. Okay, I get it. That's fine. The Mega Millions next jackpot is $62 million. The estimated cash is $49.3 million. And then you would pay tax on that $49.3 million. I don't know. We all have some decisions to make, hopefully, you know? And I trust that you'll consult me and everyone else before you make yours, though. I'll do the same. I'll do the same with you. How's that?
Sounds good, buddy.
I'm going to get a deal right now. Let's step aside here. This date in show history will be coming up at 11:50. Kurt Warner will be joining us at 12:50 today. And the NHL, we thought had at least one hub city locked down. Now it doesn't seem like that's so much of a lock anymore. We'll tell you which one right after McCone's Hub Headlines here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's a getaway day for Zoe. It's kind of a halfway getaway day for me. I'm on with Fred tomorrow morning, so I'm done at 10 a.m.
Oh,
for the long weekend. What?
Are you doing that dead Fred thing? Like 110 ways Fred could die?
People seem to love the Freddy's Dead bit.
Freddy's Dead. Everybody loves that.
I don't know. Haven't had any pre-show discussions. You know, we're all focused in on the Zolak and Bertrand show here, Zoe. And right. The NHL, watch this segue, focused in on narrowing down some hub cities. You know what I'm talking about? Because according to Frank Saravalli on Twitter, for the first time in more than a month, sounds like Vegas is no longer a front runner to host an NHL hub city. Spike in COVID-19 numbers in Vegas appear to have put a damper on their bid. Oh. To that end, Emily Kaplan, the NHL, shifting its focus to selecting two Canadian hub cities, sources confirming to ESPN. That would have the NHL resuming its season in Toronto and Edmonton later this summer. Nothing is final until players vote on the return to play proposal, which is not expected to happen until later this week.
Huh.
NHL and NHLPA are also discussing an extension to the collective bargaining agreement, which has delayed any announcements. So Vegas appeared to be the one that, like, who knows with the infrastructure, how many rinks they have there. I mean, I named a few off the top of my head that I thought were there, but in terms of, you know, housing, obviously, they can accommodate the players. They could accommodate them in different places. They could have, you know, separate bubbles, you know. They could do it a lot of different ways. But now
I've been excited as a player heading out there.
Well, the NBA, we know, we heard this from multiple people. The NBA absolutely wanted to go to Vegas. I mean, even in semi-lockdown mode, name a place where you're going to have a better time. Especially as a young man with a little bit of money in his pocket, you know?
Yeah, you slip out the back door, you go out and have a little fun, come back, yeah.
Right, which isn't supposed to be allowed, but okay, let's return
to
reality.
How long it took him to find Doug. How can you lose a guy? And next thing you know, Doug's up on a roof. Sometimes everybody just can't handle Vegas. You know?
Nick Papagiorgio, you know? Yeah. That's all he was doing, was trying to, you know, hey. Young man. In love.
Chili from Philly.
Yeah, a little higher on the back. There you go, kid. Now we just got to teach you how to dress. In recent days, the league and its players became spooked by a spike of positive cases in Nevada as well as other U.S. states. As of June 30th, There have been 18,456 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Nevada, with 507 deaths, with the state reporting its five highest days for coronavirus cases in the past week. All right, I get it. Vegas, out. You're out of the contest. We're going to go north. We're going to maybe save ourselves a little bit of hassle with Canadian players having to go into the U.S. And, okay, this, you know what? We'll just have it all in Canada. Fine. I understand it.
Here we are, already July 1st. And
well, number one.
Changes already to cities,
well,
to hubs.
They haven't announced anything yet.
Well, I know that. Isn't that the best part about hockey? Like, everybody's breaking the balls about the NBA. Well, I think, why doesn't hockey announce it? Well, this is why.
Yes.
Hockey's probably approaching it the best way. And by the way, aren't they the only sport that's practicing? They are practicing.
It seems like. Well, MLS. But now we just got a tweet about, FC Dallas, I think, had five reported confirmed positive cases.
Six total from Orlando, all from the same team, FCD. I'm assuming that means FC Dallas.
So you're talking about practice, though. They're actually there. I mean, they're supposed to start their games.
They're playing on the 8th, right?
The Revolution play their first game a week from tomorrow. So, yeah.
Is that a good or a bad thing? They're all from one team. Do we know?
See, I don't know. I've heard like this Clemson thing, like they get them all, let them all get it, and then let's get it out of the system. Let's go play in a month.
Yeah, unless there's no one to play against.
There's people that think that.
Unless there's no one to play against. Now, this was Jim's point earlier. You know, how are we going to approach this? We, like you and I, haven't any say in it, but let's pretend we do. All right? We're a commissioner of a league. Let's take NHL right now. Okay, we're going to move to Toronto and Edmonton. Okay, where all systems go. Yep, we get everybody to confirm. What if somebody tests positive? All right, Patrice Bergeron, he tests positive for COVID-19. He's not sick, but he's positive. What do we do? What do we do now? Zoe, what do you do?
Great question.
Okay. He's played one game. He's obviously been in the locker room with, you know, everybody on his team, and they played one game against against Toronto. What do you do?
Well, you immediately test every person in the locker room, every member of the organization that is traveling with you, and the team you just played right away, and you put him in isolation.
Who?
Bergeron.
Okay. Bergeron goes into isolation until he's no longer positive. What about everybody he came into contact with?
You swab them right away that next day.
Okay, let's say they all test negative.
You go and play.
That doesn't mean they haven't been exposed to it and are carrying it and are going to test positive in the coming days.
You test them every third day, but we don't know, man. You've got to play. You got to go play.
This is where they have to make, and I'm sure this is what's in all of the, you know, the health and safety protocols and what they have to sign off on. All right, I played against Bergeron for, 11 of the 21 minutes he was on the ice last night. You know, we were banging bodies on the boards. I was, up in his face a couple of times, right? Well, what about me? Well, we're going to test you. Okay, but if he just tested positive and 2 days ago he wasn't, that means he could have been carrying it for a couple of days. What if I get it? What are we doing? If you do the contact tracing like they're doing everywhere else, and then you lock down everybody who's come into contact with them, the whatever restart you have to any league is going to be turned off like a switch.
Yeah.
It's going to shut it all down almost immediately, especially in contact sports. Hell, even, you know, quote unquote, non-contact. We all know basketball is really a contact sport in disguise. If one person tests positive, if they try and do the lockdown and the isolation for all the players who are around that person, whether on the same team or an opposing team, it's all going to stop. It's going to come to a grinding halt before it even starts. You're going to have to take some degree of risk into your own hands and say, all right, the only one person tested positive. Until someone else tests positive, everyone else continues doing what they're doing. And if they go another way with this, though, I don't see how it works. I don't see how it works with the NHL, regardless of whether they play in Vegas, Toronto, Edmonton, or Timbuktu. And I don't see how it happens in Florida with the basketball, and I don't see how it happens with MLS, who is supposed to start a week from today.
So all these Plan B, Plan C cities, whether it's Edmonton, whether it's Montreal or whatever, so you have all this hotel space available? Like, you've still reserved that just in case we're going to move the entire league or an Eastern Conference there? I find it hard to believe.
I find it hard to believe that you're going to be able to conduct this season if you isolate people who came into contact with a player who tests positive.
Right.
That's my...
You got to play. You got to keep playing.
You got to keep playing.
Just got to keep playing.
Right. Well, you know, there's a risk. There's a risk
that isolate an entire football team.
Right. 4, 5, 6, 10 of these guys, you know, they're all carrying right now, but they tested negative until the, you know, symptoms are... Okay, all right. Are we going to do it or not?
This is how you learn to live with the virus.
Yes.
That may never go away.
Which is why, you know, the PGA Tour is still going on, and, you know, they've had players test positive. They had another player test positive this week. That's why I think it is, you know, a cautionary example. Brooks Koepka, his caddy test positive. What did Brooks Koepka do? Withdrew from the tournament. Maybe he doesn't want to play without his caddy. You know, maybe there's more to it than that. But other people who just, I was playing with that guy yesterday who tested positive. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to withdraw. That happened last week. If other sports follow that type of protocol, it's not going to work.
No, you can't do it.
It works in golf because those are the only two guys who are near each other all day on that one day. But anybody else at other sports, when you're going to be near people all the time when you're playing them, that type of protocol won't. It'll work to help stop the spread amongst the players, but you're not going to have any kind of a shortened season, even in a bubble. It won't work. This Dayton Show history will be coming up next. I have no idea what's in store for today, so we're going to find out together, Zoe.
Okay, buddy.
Okay, pal.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
All right, the State and Show History. Tim McCone is in with us today. He says this is one of his favorite segments on the show.
Love it. I love it.
I don't know if he's lying. McCone seems to me to have a great poker face. I really don't. I don't know.
Poker face. Okay.
I knew. I knew he was going to say.
Where'd you get that shirt, McCone? Like, where do you get a short sleeve button down?
This is J. Crew.
They went bankrupt, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, they did.
Did you get that off like a going away sale?
This was prior to the going out sale, yeah.
Yeah, the $5 shirt.
Probably why they're going out of business, but you know what? I don't mind it.
Could be. Boxy shirt for the white guy.
That's kind of my genre, yeah.
It's dressy, but it's short sleeve. I call it the Sipowitz. That's exactly what it is. You know, you go work a case with Bobby Simone, and you get to the bottom of things wearing a shirt.
Sipowitz,
like that.
Huh? Yep. There's a nice little community down by us in the Cape called Sipowisset.
Is there?
Yeah.
I never heard of that. All right, this Dayton Show history, July 1st. It's a big day for fill-ins. So Adam Jones was here in 2018. He was filling in. I don't know who was with Jones that day. But we had a dramatic reading of the behind-the-scenes story about DeMarcus Cousins signing with Golden State. I don't know who's doing the reading here. I assume Jones is doing the reading. Here we go.
DeMarcus Cousins was sleepless and confused in Las Vegas, Arkent. It was 5 a.m. Pacific time on Monday morning, and nearly 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Cousins was standing on the balcony in his off-season home, alone. I was shocked. I didn't believe it. It was rough. A pretty emotional night. Just before the sun peeked in on another sweltering Vegas day, you can feel the heat. The perspiration on his forehead. Cousins called his longtime agent Yarin Akana? Yarin Akana.
Good enough.
How about signing the mid-level exception with an elite team? How about giving the reigning NBA champion Warriors a call? I was effed up, cousin said to Yarin. I said, let's make a call. He was shocked. Around 8 a.m., cousin said he called Warriors general manager Bob Myers. Imagine Myers picking up his cell phone, and a man with a deep voice says, hey, this is DeMarcus Cousins. Got a minute?
It's kind of got an M. Night Shyamalan feel to it with that music, doesn't it?
Who's his agent, Hakuna Matata? Does it have no worries for the rest of your life?
Let's see. That was like the first breakdown there. Let's see.
Cousins called his longtime agent, Yarin Akana?
Yarin Akana.
It loses some of the dramatization when your voice goes up an octave and you're asking.
They got to get weird at night. Like, they got to be creative like with that type of stuff at night.
Yeah, but this was in the midday.
I know, but they take their show. It's like they bring their show to the midday. I would take my show to the night if I had to do that.
This was at 11 o'clock in the morning.
You do your thing.
last year on this date in show history, 2019, Kyrie Irving.
Real quick, because our kid... Our kid got the job of life, like, gets whacked, is brought back, but you know what? I'm taking vacay. I'm out of here. Has he been on there since he was?
Yes. Our kid's been back on.
Whew, that was just funny.
All right. Kyrie Irving changed agents right as he is leaving the Celtics. Rock Nation put out a video. This was last year.
Mm.
I don't remember. I think we just had the sound from the video here, but we listened to it.
Growing up, you know, I wanted to be in the NBA, and I wanted to be the best, and I wanted to be part of this league, and I just worked my butt off. And, you know, to work, I mean, really people don't understand how hard you have to work and how many hours you have to put in the gym to be at this level. And when you get to this level, the work never stops. It just begins.
I've always felt Kyrie was special. The skills and talents that he was blessed with. Once he did embrace the talent and skill set that he was blessed with, that the sky was the limit.
Thank you. Get fucked to Kyrie.
Yeah, it's very good quality. I think
this is a hell of a day.
Rock Nation's Jay-Z?
Yeah.
That's the production.
You think
that's the production value?
Oh, you just hear it.
I remember.
That's all Jay-Z. Boomin'.
Yeah, booming through the clock radio on your nightstand from 30 years ago.
They don't even want to hear Kyrie talking.
No.
They just drown him out with the music.
So bad. Also in 2019, we listened to Celtics rookie Grant Williams' Instagram post, and this was when we were introduced to another Celtics rookie, Romeo Langford, and a unique laugh that Romeo Langford has.
Why are you laughing?
Holy crap, I forgot about Romeo Langford's laugh.
That's unbelievable.
Jim, do you have it without the music underneath, just the Romeo Langford laugh from that video?
Why are you laughing?
It sounds like the Swedish chef if you tickle him. Like, I'm here to party.
That is infectious.
There's a guy in the media that has one of the funniest laughs, but it's got to be like to get him to the point of hysterical. It's Steve Burton. If you've ever heard Steve Burton, when he was doing radio back in the day, lose his mind on laughter. It's one of the funniest things ever. It really is. It's like this.
It can't be better than that.
It's close. It's close.
What was in the video? What were they doing? Do you remember? Jim remembers everything.
I don't know. They just got drafted. I don't know.
They're doing something. Oh, that's great. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. That
all right.
This Dayton Show history. Adam Silver is saying that, you know, the coronavirus, sure it exists. It might pop up in the NBA. Could stop the season altogether. What? What? Okay. Let's see what Silver had to say. We'll touch on that. Don't forget, Kurt Warner will be joining us in this upcoming hour, 12:50, right here on Zolak and Bertrand. Tim McCone here with the Hub Headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.